Good morning, everyone. It's a glorious day in the Northwest. There's signs of spring, little buds on the end of the tree limbs, and the flowers are starting to come out. We live in a particular beautiful valley, the Skagit Valley. You have to be a local to be able to say it correctly. And we have every Easter season, we have 30 days of what they call the Tulip Festival. And for the last nearly 20 years, they have had, except for last year, of course, they have a couple of hundred, maybe more, a couple hundred thousand people coming into our valley looking at our tulips. If you know the location or the geographics of our northwest area here, you know that up by the border, we have a fair amount of our Dutch brothers and sisters that brought over they imported the tulip bulbs. So they raised tulips. But we somehow got them into our valley and became a great producer of tulip bulbs and tulip flowers. And in some seasons, different years, the valley is just filled with color. It's just an amazing thing to walk among the flowers, the tulips, and see the beauty of God and the beauty of nature. So this is tulip season. It also jams up our streets, but I'm not on the street this morning, so that doesn't bother me today. Hey, welcome to our broadcast. If you're new for the first time, thank you for coming by and subscribing if it's something that's blessing your heart. I would be blessed to have you return again and be a part of our journey. And for those who are tuning in regularly, thank you for your support, your thumbs up, and all the comments that you make along the way. It's just good to be a part of God's team as we move together in the things of the Lord. Say, the subject today has to do with praise and worship. It's an interesting discussion, subject, and experience. Now, when I say interesting, it's kind of like the word interesting has a broad scope to it. Someone asks you a question and you say, well, that's interesting. What you're doing is not answering and leaving options open for the right answer if you ever come up with it. Well, today, the Lord dropped this in my heart early this morning, and it's talking about or discussing the power and the wonder and the beauty of worship and praise. To go to the central focal point, teaching and expression of praise and worship, we really have to go to the book of Psalms. Now, most of us know, if we've read much or been in the church much, that the Psalms, which David did most of them, but the Psalms are certainly the central, place we go to receive some direction. David, they tell me David invented and created many, many, many instruments to worship with. We're kind of accustomed to the guitar, which comes out of the harp family, and the violins, all the stringed instruments. But the scriptures, the Psalms talk to us and tell us that we ought to have stringed instruments. Well, that's a violin, that's a guitar, that's a harp. And that's a piano, isn't it? The strings that make sounds. There seems to be in praise and worship there seems to be a vibration and a frequency that we deal with. This is something that we're hearing more and more about now, is that God has, and he has made us, we are vibrating and we're full of frequency and we make sounds out of our created body, don't we? And they tell me that the DNA in our body, if it could be, it's strings and it can be vibrations and sounds and make a song, even sing a song back to God. Okay, I digress. I had this song on my heart today. Praise waiteth for thee, O Lord. It's out of Psalm 65. Praise waiteth for thee, O Lord. Waiteth for thee in Zion. So there is a command, a direction, and an invite to praise the Lord and to worship the Lord. I made a note in my notes this morning. I made a comment about the cycle of praise and worship and singing in the Pentecostal Charismatic Church, the churches, the generational shifts. I've been involved in quite a few of the generational shifts. And we're back again to a great amount of entertainment. It's an amazing thing to see the cycle. Starts out with all the sound coming from the stage, and then when the charismatic revival, they call it, there was an era of time for revival, the revival message, and then the charismatic message, but they all had to do with congregational singing. And what happened when the charismatic influence came to our Pentecostal churches, that we actually came off the platform and sat on the front row to enter into the worship and be part of the congregational worship. Mm-hmm. Often in certain eras of time, they had the great choirs and great orchestras. The stage was like one third of the church, so you could put all the singers and the musicians in front. And then that shifted to where the stage became smaller and there was only one or two singers and leaders, so the congregation could bring that sound up. Let me just do a few of the psalms this morning, just to kind of trigger our thought patterns and our appetite for this. Psalms 104 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise and be thankful unto him. So there's a process of going into the presence of the Lord, and it seems to be a sequential stepping, as it were, through one portal, one gate into the courts of God. Now, you remember that the court would represent where the king would do business or would sit. So the presence of the Lord would be related to that court, wouldn't it? To where we could come into the court. Again, in 101, in 101 Psalm, first verse, says, I will sing. So the congregational singing is so important. I will sing to you praise. I love 150, and 150, Psalms 150, really has some powerful direction to us in praise and worship. Now, this is not just congregational. This is individual, isn't it? We should and do. I know we all have different methods of worship, praise. Sometimes we listen to singing as we're meditating, and that's fine, or music. But I would encourage you today to practice worshiping and praising at home. So when you come into the congregation, we're not just singing words on a screen, but there's something coming out of our spirit. I believe that when you go into your congregation on a service time, whatever day that would be, that you need to come in and open up your spirit and release the Spirit of God that's in you into the room. Not just invite God down. We have this come Lord Jesus and come more and all the things that we love to do. But I would just encourage you all to open your spirit and release the praises out of your heart, your voice, and your mouth, and so forth. But Psalms 150, and it's a powerful song, and I'm going to spare you and not try to sing it this morning. But I would just encourage you today to take the 150th Psalm and meditate upon it, and allow the Spirit of God to speak through this Psalm. Listen to it as I read it out of the King James. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Well, that sets us up, doesn't it? That pretty well makes a pretty good diagram of where we should focus and who we should praise and what we should do with praise. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. All right. There's a section of the church, one denominational part of it that doesn't believe in musical instruments. Well, I believe the Psalms are filled with musical instruments. David, as I say, created many, many musical instruments. I was going to take a guess at it, but it's been a while since I've studied that out. But there was a whole bunch of them that he created. And so I believe musical instruments belong in the congregational worship. But I also don't think that they should dominate and rule. I don't believe that all we should hear is loud music bursting out until we need earplugs. That's not so much the point. I believe we ought to hear the congregation and the singing coming forth out of the hearts of the saints. We did praise and worship in our congregation and developed. There was a man by the name of Ron Jackson that came in the early 80s and began to bring us into a direction for worship and praise, which we really added to and built on and grew in. But it was a sound of the hearts of the people coming forth. And I remember there would be times that I would go over by the piano. We had a grand piano, and I would step over by the piano, put my hand on it, and feel the vibration of those chords coming out. And when I did, I could tune in and pick up the rhythm of the song, and I could sing, or I could hum, or I could rejoice in harmony with the music. So musical instruments are certainly a part of what God has for us. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and the harp. So we have string instruments. We have the sound of the trumpet. I told you a couple of days ago, I traveled with my friend Garland that played the trumpet. And there's not a sound like a trumpet hitting high notes and blasting out rejoicing sounds. I tell you, you put the strings, you put the trumpet, you put the wind instruments together, and you've got a sound of praise that is unlike anything you have ever heard when it comes together. Now, remember, David had his worship on the hill in a tent. And the sound would float down the hill. Now sound drops down like cold air, doesn't it? Cold air always flows down. Sound does the same thing. If you're on a hilltop, they can hear you when you shout down. So this, he had 24 worship choirs that had continual worship in Jerusalem all the time. You didn't have to have a record player or a CD player. All you had to do is open your shutter and the sound of praise would come in. Marvelous. I think that is absolutely wonderful. Now, are we going to go back to that? Well, that'd be great. Some city where we had music playing all the time. But how about you? How about you worshiping the Lord? How about you lifting your voice up? Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel, that's the tambourine, or the drum, and dance. Whoa, we're getting involved here. Praise him with stringed instruments. There we go with the guitars and the pianos and the violins and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Boy, we used to have a drummer in church that he'd get on the war drums once in a while, and we'd let him go for 2, 3, 4 minutes until all heaven would come down. But it was the right time at the right place. Great cymbals and clashing cymbals. And then the last verse in Psalms 150, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And then he emphasizes it again with praise ye the Lord. So not being critical, I'm being instructive. I believe there's a sound that needs to come out of the congregation that we're not hearing in the church today because it's dominated with the front. In some churches, they have 15 singers and all the instruments. I'm inviting you to search out your voice and your sound and your shout. Scripture says, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Amen. So this is a good day on Monday to begin to exercise our voice in praise and worship. Sweet, soft worships, you know, whispers to loud shouts. It's all there. There's no plastic form where we're just, well, I'm being reverent now, so I have to be silent. No, the scriptures talk about volume, and yet it talks about the gentle approach to worship. Praise God. Well, thank you for stopping by today and being a part of our ongoing morning ministry. Now, remember, we're developing our Sunday night 6 o'clock live gathering, and we will do that again this Sunday night. I'm working at gathering some of my co-laborers and joining me on a Sunday night so we can dig in to the scriptures and also discuss what God's doing in the nation and the world in the Christian viewpoint. So don't forget Sunday night at 6 o'clock. And until then, we will see you in the morning. And I thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your subscriptions. And I thank you for your financial strength when God nudges you along the way. Amen. Well, I love you guys. I will see you in the morning. Until then, may the Lord bless you and may he